Hello, and welcome to this week's SearchCIO.com editorial podcast. I'm Joyce Chachian, Online Editorial Director for SearchCIO.com. Here's a roundup of the news, tips, and other resources you'll find this week on SearchCIO. CIOs can't seem to get over the slim pickings of job candidates these days, but instead of grumbling about it, experts say that CIOs should go back to school and help beef up the IT labor pool. A Forrester Research survey of 281 IT decision makers found that most IT leaders do very little to reach out to local universities. Job fairs were the most common form of engagement between schools and IT organizations, with 57% of large IT organizations and 36% of small IT organizations participating. Job fairs are an effective recruiting tool, but if quality candidates aren't graduating from the programs, these fairs don't do much for CIOs. While some CIOs do spend time at local universities, lecturing or participating in advisory boards, most CIOs simply don't have the time. However, if the CIO can't find the time to engage in schools and contribute to the curricula, they can enlist direct reports to do so. Steve Pickett, CIO of Penske Corp. in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and a past president of the Society of Information Management, said he works with schools in the Detroit area to help produce high-quality candidates. In my opinion, it's so important because there are fewer and fewer of students entering the field of IT, Pickett said. Most CIOs are firm believers in the fact that employees not only need to have a technical background, but they also need a business background, he said. Pickett said CIOs should reach out to local universities. Guest lecturing is a fun way to give back, he said. Partnering with colleges is another way to help contribute to the labor pool. Robert L. Horton, coordinator of the Management Computer Systems program at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, said he relies heavily on local CIOs to keep his program cutting edge. We have a large number of partnership programs within the industry, he said. While enrollment in Horton's program is low, he says it's a problem across the country. Enrollment in computer science programs is declining by 70% in recent years, according to reports. It isn't easy for CIOs and schools to work together, Horton said, but it's worth the effort. The battle between Microsoft and Google took a lively turn last week when reports surfaced and then were quickly batted down that Microsoft was once again in merger talks with search firm Yahoo. Whether the discussions are happening or not, any doubts that Microsoft, not Google, is the company on the offensive can be dismissed, said David Mitchell-Smith, an analyst at Gartner. Microsoft is clearly going after Google's core business, advertising, Smith said. Google is trying to distract Microsoft so a company with its resources can't apply 100% of its focus on the attack. Alan Weiner, who covers Google for Gartner, agrees that online advertising market is up for grabs, and that's where the money is. Microsoft and Google are the most celebrated among many players, including Yahoo, that are vying for this space, he noted. The question is, will the battle end with one loser and one winner? And if so, what does that mean for how companies and consumers can do business? This week's IT business strategies tip looks at the benefits of outsourcing. As the outsourcing market becomes more price competitive, business value and governance are becoming the top drivers for IT outsourcing. Cost is no longer one of the top benefits of outsourcing for CIOs. Many companies are now looking at strategic value and speed to market as the primary benefits of outsourcing. One case in point is Wilton Re, a reinsurance company in Wilton, Connecticut. Wilton Re has two IT departments, the strategic one and the non-strategic one. The strategic department consists of CIO Andy Wood and two IT employees who handle the life reinsurance company's business processes, business analysis, information analysis, and project program and relationship management. For the nuts and bolts operation of the IT department, everything from servers and storage to voice over IP and help desk operations is outsourced. Outsourcing allows the internal IT department to focus its energies on high potential projects that have strategic importance to Wilton Re. As Wood outlines the reasons and benefits of outsourcing, price doesn't come up in the conversation. Instead, Wood points to speed to market, the ability to manage cost and risk, a long-term strategic decision to take this route, and a high degree of process as reasons for picking the outsourcing company, Logicalis. We're a small company with a big company IT infrastructure, Wood said. We've doubled our services with them since our inception. We believe it means a price break with them, and they pass some of that along to us. Outsourcing considerations go beyond price, however. CIOs need to consider international operations and location, delivery capabilities, and value proposition to the business. CIOs should also consider alignment between IT and the business, as well as governance. Finally, offshore work is 90% commoditized, which means labor costs are low. However, when it comes to the quality of work, know the difference between cheap and inexpensive. Smaller public companies have their share of challenges when it comes to preparing for Sarbanes-Oxley. But as of December 15th, the Securities and Exchange Commission will start cracking down. Until now, companies with less than $75 million in public equity have not been required to comply with Section 404 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. That section requires that a public company files a report on its assessment of the company's internal control over financial reporting, including the financial work that passes through IT. It also requires the company's auditors to attest to the quality of the company's internal control over financial reporting in the auditor's annual report. The SEC itself has recognized the compliance challenges for smaller companies, notes James Champy, practice manager for Perot Systems, in his column this month. Champy says that smaller companies typically don't have full-time financial controllers and often don't have well-documented processes. Your company may have a lot of work to do to produce a report that makes investors feel confident about your numbers, even if you are the most honest company, Champy said. The SEC, until now, has given smaller companies and their auditors more time to prepare, but time is almost up. Companies with fiscal years ending on or after December 15th will have to start complying. IT is an integral part of compliance, especially for processes and systems that touch financial controls and reporting. If you're an IT manager at a small public company, you had better begin talking with your CFO about the controls that need to be operating within your shop and what will be asked of you. Start documenting your processes if you don't already do so. Management and your auditors will want to review these so that they can attest to their quality. If you're a practical manager, you may also be thinking that all the legislation Congress can produce will not stop people from misrepresenting or bending the financial truth if they set out to do so. It's your job as CIO to be alert as information passes through your processes and systems. Know what you are accountable for and start preparing now. Also available on searchcio.com is our latest executive guide entitled Compliance 2.0, Raising the Bar. Compliance regulations require CIOs to be more familiar with the law than ever before. This executive guide offers tips, news, and resources to make the job easier. All these articles, tips, and other resources are available this week on searchcio.com. I'm Joyce Chachian. Thanks for listening.